you, Mayor Baker.
Okay, Mayor Dean Baker, Naples City, representing Uinta County. Thank you.
I'm Bruce Adams, San Juan County Commissioner, representing Southeastern Utah AOG.
Good morning, Nagi Zanati from sunny St. George, representing UDOT Commission, and I'm here for a Christmas dinner, Candace, right?
Kurt Slaw, Deputy State Treasurer, representing the State Treasurer.
Chris Piper with the Utah Attorney General's Office.
Good morning, Curtis Wells, representing rural Utah.
Scott Bartholomew, San Pete County Commissioner, representing the Six County Association of Governments. And I guess I'm the bad one today up here at the head of the table.
Commissioner Ralph Brown from Sevier County, representing Sevier County.
Greg Miles, Duchesne County Commissioner, representing Duchesne County.
Jerry Taylor, Garfield County Commissioner, representing Fife County AOG.
And I'm Laura Hansen, the State Planning Coordinator with the Governor's Office of Planning and Budget.
Thank you. Okay, next we have...
Uinta Basin, Daggett County Commissioner, representing the Uinta Basin AOG.
Sorry about that, Jack. That's Jack Lytle. So for our briefing, we have our upcoming meeting dates. Next is January 4th, 2024, and the following is February 1st, 2024. Any comments or conflicts on future meeting dates? Yes?
Just a heads up, I'll be out of town on the 4th. I'll be on a family vacation January 4th. But if it's okay, I can send Evan Curtis from our office.
Sure. Somewhere sunny and warm?
Yes, Mexico.
Yeah. All right. Those dates work for everyone else. Looks like it. Great. Up next is our financial review, Ms. Powers.
I'm just going to quickly say that there are five applications for consideration that were submitted to the board by the October 1 deadline and have followed all the protocol. And there are two special consideration applications on the agenda today to discuss that will require a vote of the board to hear, and we'll have Kaylee Beck discuss finances.
Come on up, Ms. Beck. Good morning.
Here we go. Can you scroll down a little bit? I'm not sure your microphone. It's probably not. There we go. So we did have a better month this month than last month when we were reporting way less than average. Our average right now for mineral lease revenue receipts is close to $4.5 million, and we received just above $5 million. For bonus funds, we did receive a little bit less than average. It's close to like $200,000, and we did only receive close to $100,000. So we do have some work to do. Hopefully the next 2 months before the funding meeting will continue to increase and be a little bit above average. But as of today, for the mineral lease money that you have $5.7 million. And for the bonus fund, you have $528,000. So not a lot of money for the assets coming through. We're hopefully it'll be a little bit better for the funding meeting, but definitely we won't make it to what's needed for all the requests that we have this trimester. Yes, go ahead.
I don't see any. So what about the loan repayments? That's also revenue that comes in that we can redeploy?
Yeah, we haven't posted those ones yet because of the San Juan. And so we will have those posted for you for the funding meeting.
Okay, but we're making decisions today, and it would be nice to know how much money we have coming in so that we could make
and
good
so
decisions.
And so those are included. They do. Okay. We do include those in the mineral lease. And the bonus fund. I just didn't look at the averages for those loan repayments. We do include them in there, but right now it's a little bit lower just because of the San Juan that's eating up some of the money. But normally it's everything. The current mineral lease revenue that we show, it's everything. It's interest income, mineral lease receipts, and loan repayments.
Okay. That's a little bit lower than, you know, I've been looking at digging in deeper on the financials, and I think we have more money than that, so that's why I'm a little bit surprised that
Yeah, it's because what? it's because of the San Juan money that we have to pull back.
The San Juan money.
Can you explain that? Yeah, can you explain that one?
The one we had it for.
When the board authorizes funding for projects, the funding is appropriated, so it's pulled out of the CIB balance. The funding for Manila, when they came in for supplemental funding, was not appropriated, and so when we appropriated its whole amount, they were ready to go. So we were short to fund all of those. So there is a shortfall of 11, you see it in blue right down there little, of $11,962,000 that needs to be appropriated for the San Juan public safety building that you authorized back in October funding. The reason that Manila got it first is because they were shovel ready to go. San Juan has deferred the appropriation for their entire account with a remaining balance. That was a big project, as you recall. So we still don't have sufficient funding to give them, to make them whole of what the board has approved. So I can't speak to the reason why the loan repayments aren't being put into the pot, but we will have to take that $11 million out of somewhere, still, because you've approved that project. It was
okay,
not.
We approved to suspend and fund.
No, it was approved in October, you approved supplemental for Manila. Manila was ready, so they got the appropriation. San Juan is not ready, so we need to make them whole for the amount that you have authorized for that big project. It was back in October. So it was...
Okay, and we approved at a funding meeting a project that we didn't have the money at the time.
The reason it looked like we had money is because the Manila project had not been pulled out of the balance.
Why not?
Good question. It just hadn't been. It was oversight. So, what you see now, it has been reconciled. So, we have overspent because of balances. But what you see there in purple of $5,000,007, that's only new receipts. That's not loan repayments. Doesn't include loan repayments right now.
Okay, but we need to include that for the board so that we can make a decision, is what I'm trying to say.
DWS right. Finance needs to make that allocation. I don't.
Further comments, discussion?
So no Christmas bonuses for the board?
We got candles.
Candle. That's what you was. That's your thing.
It's more than we expected.
Yeah.
Better light it on both ends.
You're getting paid? I have to pay to be here.
Oh, really?
Me too. Okay. Okay, thank you, Caleb. Appreciate it. Sounds like we're going to have some additional conversation there. Approval of minutes from the November 2nd, 2023 meeting. Special thank you to Chairman Zanotti for hosting the board and Sunny St. George. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I make a motion to approve.
And second.
Motion made, seconded by Commissioner Bartholomew. Motion made by Commissioner Taylor. Any comments? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, we're going to get into presentations for new projects. Number one is item 4.1, Town of Joseph is requesting a $90,000 grant for a water meter upgrade. Please come join us. And Ms. Powers, if you have any comments before the applicant takes their seat.
Just a couple in looking through it that they have noted in some of the discussion in the application they submitted that this is aging infrastructure. In the minutes that they held October 11th, the meters are currently read by hand. They're working with Hydro Specialties and received a quote for meters and endpoints. My question to them, and I did ask them, did they solicit bids? We'll let the Count of Joseph speak to that. They've actively engaged with the Governor's Office of Economic Opportunity Water Infrastructure Grant Program. In the event that they secure the water infrastructure funding, they'll withdraw this application. But at this point, there's a lot of competition for it, so they don't know.
Welcome. Please introduce yourself and provide any comments for your project.
Well, thank you for hearing from me. I am Jared Campbell. I'm the mayor of the Town of Joseph, our humble little town down in Central Valley. As comment, we did have multiple different quotes that we got for our town. The issue that we're having right now is our water meter system's over 20 years old, if I know my numbers correctly. It's got to the point where it's been obsolete for us to be able to drive around and collect that data, so now we're to the point where we're going hand by hand to each town, each home, and collecting the data amount of how much water's been used. We did look at other water meter companies is what we looked at. Some of them we're looking at were actually mechanical, which we want to get away from. This one that we were looking at now is probably the cheapest out of all of those and actually went to non-mechanical, which actually gives us the ability to prevent backflow, or at least recognize backflow, recognize leaks, and be able to get instantly notified when we have leaks and keep us up to date to catch any water that we are probably currently losing right now through our old mechanical meters. So that's where we're at with that system.
Thank you. And when again is that? What's the time frame for the Governor's Office of Economic Opportunities grant program?
We were told last month it was supposed to be decided, and we're still waiting at this point. So I don't know what their deadline is, but it's supposed to be now.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? Treasurer Slaw?
What's the chance that they're waiting on us to decide before they decide?
Is that the case?
Are they waiting to see if they can get it? You can get it funded through CIB before they will commit to funding it if you don't?
I don't believe so.
No. Is that not?
I wouldn't think so. No, it's a separate process, and I don't think so.
And our hope, I'm sorry, Ms. Lee. Our hope is if we do get that in the next couple months to obviously defer anything that we receive from you guys back to you guys.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I have one question. How many connections do we have there?
213. And some of those are within town, and then we provide service outside the town.
Ms. Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hi. What's your ability to perhaps take a loan rather than a grant?
We really are hoping to avoid that, just for the fact that this is dying equipment that does obsolete by 30 years. We're afraid that we will be in the same boat doing this. Majority of our town is all of our employment is outside of our town. We all go to Richfield. We all go to these other towns. So the majority of our town is just elderly and residential, and we don't have much for a business. We have one gas station, and it's pretty minimal. So without going through and reworking our budget and increasing everything to sustain that, that's where we would sit.
Chairman, and to go along with Laura's comment on all loan, I sat down and I did it at 184. That's what the package showed they had for connections. You say you have 213?
213
on there. When I did it, I calculated that at an all zero interest, 30 years, for $100,000, that would give them the $90,000 plus the closing costs and everything. It was coming in at $1.51. With the more connections, it would be about $1 a month per connection to take all loan on. So, I we don't have the revenue, and we're even more in the hole from what I'm understanding. So, I see their plight, but, a dollar a month is not a lot of increase to take on for that 30 years. I watch other districts that take on, and they take on loans and do. And I guess I'd be willing to jump in if there's no other comment or anything and go to the minimum, which, because we're, out of range with all grants, and do a $100,000 loan at 30 years at 0%, that would make them, the residents, $1 a month increase on their water bill.
Okay. So I think we've got a comment request from Commissioner Lytle. Is there a second on the motion so I can give Commissioner Lytle a second by Ms. Hansen? So that was a motion to fund at a minimum by Mayor Baker. Commissioner Lytle, please.
I just had some more questions before a motion got made, but I realize it's awkward with me being off-site. relative to rates, I've got two questions. One, what's your rates right now, and when's the last time you moved them up? As well as, how many commercial connections do you have?
For commercial, I believe we only have four or five in our town. I don't know the exact amount because we do combine it with our trash that we have service for. We have currently been raising every year. We're trying to get we have a percentage in place every January that we raise our rates a couple percentages, trying to get up to where we should have been. I came into this position behind a mayor that no changes had been raised, and so here we are trying to catch up and get things back to where we are actually treading water. And so it's been doing this through hard times, of even with our town people, of raising that up. So that's been our goal, is getting to the point where we're just trying to get with our inflation and what we have going on to maintain. And so this would be, I'll be honest, it would be substantial to raise even more. So, but we do raise it every January.
What's your base rate right now?
I believe it's 40. I don't want to misspeak. I believe it's like $42 for our base rate.
And how much water is your base?
I believe we have 35,000 gallons per user is what we have. We don't have any.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Brown?
Yes, I'm familiar with Joseph very well, and they struggle to keep their roads in repair and everything. It is a bedroom community. Can I make a substitute motion? I'd make a motion that we approve all grant.
Motion to approve all grant. Substitute motion. Is there a second?
I'd second that because of the size of the community. They've only got 280 residents or so.
Okay. So, substitute motion is on the floor to fund all grant. Comments?
Can I ask another question? what type of meters are they? Are they brass?
These are brass, and what it will go to is a magnetic pull, is where it picks it up without any mechanical, and that's where I was going to be able to pick it up. Through magnetics, I'm not understanding how exactly it works, but it would be brass meters with electronic digital readers, and then be able to go to endpoints through cellular, be able to keep us up to date when there are leaks and keep it quicker that way.
So I think you're probably under the gun to come under compliance for lead.
We are.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, Ms. Powers, I'll call for. To the grant, it requires an exemption.
Financial hardship.
Okay. You concur with that, Commissioner Bartholomew?
Sure.
Okay. So
before you call the question, I have one.
Yes.
On the financial hardship, in terms of the, is that I'll disregard. Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Powers, I'll call for a roll call vote to fund the Town of Joseph request with grant using the financial hardship exemption.
Treasurer Slaw.
Always me first.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
No.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion carries with one opposed.
Could I raise a question now before you go further in terms of contingency on their future funding request to the economic development or whatever that is on the bottom of the page?
That would be good.
Who are you trying to get money from?
So commissioner's asking, Lytle's asking for a contingency for the governor's Office of Economic Opportunities water infrastructure grant. So if that funding comes in place before we fund. So is the board clear on that? Mm-hmm. So we'll add that to the motion, yeah. The contingency for that grant. So if that grant comes in, we won't fund.
Yep.
Okay. That work for you, Commissioner Lytle?
Point of order.
Yes.
Can I just make a comment?
Sure.
I think, you know, I understand the situation we're in, but I would say it might be smart for the board to consider a policy that for water-specific projects that we require them to go through the process of those other loan programs before coming to CIB, because CIB shouldn't be your first point for water projects. It should be your last point, because we can fund so many other projects, roads and stuff, that these other loan programs can't, like, right, Laura? So,
yeah.
Like, it would be my preference as a board, and I think this is something we would have to decide as a board, that we create a policy or something to not allow them to have two different applications out at the same time, mm-hmm. because if we jump in, the chances of them not knowing about that, and then because they're going to have other projects that they can fund too, and knowing that they've already secured financing at CIB, the chance that they're going to come through with another loan is pretty slim to nil, in my opinion. But that's really where they should have gone first. So anyway, that's just my thought on the matter. So,
Mr. Chair, can I respond? I totally agree with that. I will note that the Governor's Office of Economic Opportunity grants that we're talking about here is just a one-time appropriation, so it's not going to be an ongoing funding source. Okay. That one is, they had money last legislative session. They have enough applications to spend it all right now. So that's going to go away as a long-term source, but there's still the Division of Water Quality and Division of Drinking Water
sure.
grants as
yeah.
well.
That makes sense. Oh, I think it's a good point. Commissioner Adams.
Well, I brought this up a couple of times already, speaking to Kurt's idea. Water Quality will receive applications throughout the year. When they run out of money, they take no more applications. And I would bet they're out of money already and have been for more than half of the year. And that's why I suggested that the CIB follow suit. You know, that I don't understand why we're trying to fund projects when we have a $48 million deficit in our financials today.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what the board has chosen to do. And so, Kurt, if we come up with that policy, that's fine. But I'm just telling you, Water Quality and these other boards, when they run out of money, they accept no more applications. And I think that's part of why we get those applications here at CIB, because we don't have that policy.
Yeah. Let's make a note, you know, for our January meeting to have a policy discussion on this. And, you know, and maybe discuss some options for the board. Because I think they're great points. We're trying to better organize process.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I have a comment. I agree with Bruce. I'm wondering if we're not just wasting a whole lot of people's time, their time, our time. If we're $48 million in the hole, it seems a little bit ridiculous to me to waste our time with that until we do have the money, and their time. Their time is valuable as well. So I would support that.
Can I just ask a clarifying question on the $48 million in the hole? My understanding from the financial sheet is we'd be that much in the hole if we funded everything that came to us today. But that's
correct.
Not necessarily our starting point.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. Commissioner Miles.
I think, and Bruce, I don't disagree, but I don't think you can shut the door when we're halfway through the process either. And I think that was the problem with shutting it after last month's meeting. Like, if we've only heard a third of the applicants, I think, you know, maybe that happens after this trimester, and we pay off what loans we've given out. But I think we have to give some lead time to agencies to know that probably won't do any good to submit an application right now.
Well, the bottom line is we can't fund anything we don't have money for. We're not like any of, like, if the money doesn't come in. So what I'm banking on is there were some significant dollars that are not included in this financial sheet that I'm, loan repayments, right, that we're going to get before the next funding meeting. So part of my frustration is I would like to know better what that is on a financial report. But I think at this point we have to move forward with some of these smaller projects that are critical for communities, because I'm assuming, and, you know, I know what happens when you assume, right? But I'm assuming that we're going to have money that comes in that's going to be here by the next funding meeting, and I want to make sure that we're deploying as much as we can in these tight circumstances out into our communities and not just saying no and then, you know, come to the funding meeting having a lot of excess either, right? So I'm trying to draw that line of where do I think we actually have money for. I've kind of run some of my own numbers, you know, a couple of weeks ago on this, and I think we will have some more money that comes into CIV before the next funding meeting. So I'm making decisions based on that.
Let's get our vote wrapped up here, because I think we're still in the middle of a vote. Is that right?
No.
I think we're finished.
We're done.
Waiting for the next project.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Mayor.
But good discussion, and discussion that we need to continue. Item 4.2, Cedar View Montwell Special Service District, $1 million request, $750,000 in grant, $250,000 in loan, 30 years at 0%. For an operations building. Welcome, gentlemen. Ms. Powers, any brief comments before our applicants introduce themselves?
This is for their operations building. Their request is for $1 million, of which there's a $750,000 grant and a $250,000 loan, 30 years at 0%. This is for the construction of a new steel building. Their current office is in a shipping container. I think I read that correctly. The new facility is a metal building and will include amenities. In the public hearing minutes of 10/18/2023, it's unclear as to what the project was that was discussed. It wasn't clear in the public hearing minutes. With that, it's just Cedar View Montwell. It's a special service district that does water for the area of Duchesne, and they want an operations building.
Thank you. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Candace. My name is A.J. Kendall. I'm with the Cedar View Montwell Special Service District. This is Aaron, our engineer, who helps us a lot. And we really appreciate the oil industry. We really appreciate the CIB for helping us fund a lot of projects in the past. We wouldn't exist without you guys. Our industry is oil out in our area, and we really appreciate their business and everything they bring out to the area. When we started about 15 years ago, when the district started, there wasn't a system, there was no connections, no revenue, but there was a need for water in the area. A lot of the residents' thoughts are that the oil extraction in the area has affected the quality of the water wells, and so we needed the system. I know there's a lot of regulations and safeguards with the oil industry, trying to protect the aquifers and keep them safe for everybody, but sometimes there are accidents and there are negative impacts. But we still do appreciate the oil industry a lot and their business. We've worked really hard to responsibly grow our system to nearly 200 connections, and now we're to the point where we can financially have a loan to help get a building in our area. Let's see. Our monthly base rate is $70, which is approximately 1.83% of the MAGI in our area. And this has been part of the district's efforts to be fiscally responsible in growing our system. This building is needed. We currently are renting out a space from Duchesne County in town in Roosevelt, which is it's about 20 minutes outside of our district. We don't have anything in our district. We have an old shipping container for, I'm not speaking loud enough. We do have an old shipping container for like our storage area where we store our parts, and it's not the best place to be storing things, and it's far away from where we're meeting. It'd be great to have a office space that is in our district. It's a good central location. We bought a 10-acre lot. It's a good spot. It's kind of hard sometimes to get people to volunteer to be on our board when we have to drive 20 minutes outside our area to go to a meeting and then 20 minutes home, and I think having a building in our area would be really great. It would give us a spot to have our meetings, a storage space, have the public there, store parts and equipment, and we're just kind of doing what we need right now. It's not going to be super fancy, but it will be done in a way that we can add on to it in the future and maybe expand other services and stuff. But, yeah, do you guys have any questions or thoughts?
Questions for the applicants? Okay. Yes, sir.
Sorry. You have listed $65,000 in kind contribution. What is the source of that in kind?
The source?
What is it?
The property. Oh, yeah. You so we bought the 10-acre lot to build the building on.
You have already bought and paid for it?
Yep.
Okay. And is this project shovel ready?
Yes, shovel ready. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You bet. Good.
Yes, sir.
Follow up question. So when you say shovel ready, what do you have in place? Do you have definite bids and contractors lined up that are ready to build the building? Or?
So by shovel ready, we mean this not weighing on any easements, any property acquisition, anything like that. It would need to be designed still, and then it could be constructed next year.
Okay.
Okay.
I have a question when you're ready.
Yes, Commissioner Lytle, please.
Or a comment with questions to the board. On these kind of projects, tell me how much this will muddle things up. What if we put them on in this trimester, then I realize, and very respectfully to what Commissioner Adams was saying and everyone else with regard to funding and everything. What if we were to approve the project but delay the funding of the project, and this goes to Candace maybe, in order to until they have their project design done. So it would be on a, I don't know if the pending list works that way or if it would be, yes, we approve it in concept, but we don't want to lock the money down until, one, we have it. Sounds and two, they're actually ready to start digging. But I guess they need the money to design it, so I'm sorry.
The pending list be the most appropriate then?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Okay, I'll entertain a motion from the board.
I'm waiting for Kurt to make a comment because he calls this kick the can down the road concept, where we approve something and defer the funding, at least. Yeah. I think that's been proposed before, and we were told that that's kick the can down the road, right, Kurt?
That's exactly what it is, yeah.
Okay. Just for the record.
Mr. Chairman, if I can make a couple of comments. I think, we just funded meter upgrades for a district that's charging less than half of the rate that this district's charging their customers for. And this district has struggled since its inception to deliver water. And it wasn't a water quality issue. It was there was no water. There were several individuals who had either a dried up well or a dry hole, and they tried for a well. And so this system is a necessity. And so I think if we have it tugging on our heartstrings to fund meter upgrades, I think this is a need, not a want.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Bartholomew.
So as I understand this, you really can't proceed until you've got some funding in place. And so we have to fund that before they can go further with this project. And I would go along with what Greg just said. You know, these small areas, sometimes they don't have any other funding. I would make the motion to keep it into the suggested range to go with the minimum of 430 loan, 30 years with a 0%, 570 grant.
Okay, motion to fund at the minimum suggested range. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Commissioner Miles. Comments, Ms. Hansen?
Yeah. Just a question. I would assume we would be able to do sort of partial funding in order to facilitate the design work and then perhaps have them come back once the design is completed for funding for the construction. So that could be one alternative way to strategize this and see if we have more money coming in later.
Comments?
What if we were to...
Go ahead, Commissioner.
Could we, if they have an idea what the design costs are going to be, make that available?
Yes, it's on the application, the design costs.
It's about $150,000, correct?
The design itself, pre-construction, was $69,000.
So we've got a motion on the floor to fund at the minimum. Comment, Commissioner Adams.
I think we either fund it or not fund it.
Yeah, I'd make a comment. I'd agree. I think we either fund it or don't fund it because, you know, if we don't have the money and they've already sunk all their design in it and they have no other way to fund this,
right.
then that's sunk cost that they'll never get back and
that's
kind of wasted money.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I appreciate your indulgence. I concur with your thoughts.
Okay.
I just needed your...
Okay. I'll call for the vote, please, Ms. Powers. Funding at the minimum.
Thank you. This is for a $430,000 loan, 30-year at 0%, and a $570,000 grant. Mr. Slaw.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen.
Yep.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
This is on the pending list. It has not been authorized for funding. That won't happen until February. Just a note, CIB has turned down design requests because for the very reason you stated as a board. Don't design something that you can't eventually find a project or get built. So.
Thank you. Thank you. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Up next, item 4.3 is the Castle Valley Special Service District. This is Castle Valley and Emery County, correct?
Yes.
Total of $2,885,000 with $1,685,000 in grant. $1,200,000 in loans, 6 years at 1.5% for consolidated capital projects, 2024. Welcome, gentlemen. Ms. Powers, any brief comments before we ask the applicants?
I just want to note how sharp Jacob looks.
Appreciate that, Bruce.
He's Jacob sharp. He looks sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah, got that tie on.
Yep. Absolutely. Thank you for that.
This is an annual request from Castle Valley Special Service District. This is their consolidated projects of 2024. The board has historically appreciated the research and homework that they do to fund various little towns. The Division of Drinking Water has reviewed the water projects for Huntington, Orangeville, Castledale, and Farron. All of these projects will be funded through a central general obligation bond. For the board members that have not been on this board for previous applications coming in from this entity, they put out a general obligation bond for referendum, get it voted up to a certain maximum, and they're still they try and make it stretch as far as they can, but it's for several little towns in the Emery County area. And with that, I will let the chairman turn the time.
Welcome, gentlemen. Please introduce yourselves.
Thank you, Candace. Very good to see you. I'm Jacob Sharp, as Bruce said.
manager of the Castle Valley Special Service District, and we've got Merrill Johansson with Johansson and Tuttle Engineering, and Alex Buxton with Zions Bank Public Finance with us. I think Candace did a really nice job, as she always does. She always speaks highly. I appreciate that, Candace. The biggest difference this year and compared to years past is we have about $570,000 of in-kind cash that we have in the bank ready to put towards this to help out with some of those water projects that she referred to, specifically trying to eliminate the old asbestos cement or the transite pipeline that we have in our systems. We're really making an effort over the last several years to get rid of that. So aside from that, it's really similar to years past. We have various public works projects in 8 cities and towns in Emory County, and we consolidate them all together and come to the board for hopefully funding. So.
Thank you. Questions for the applicants from the board? Chairman Zanotti, please.
Knowing the history of this agency and entity, knowing that how sharply they have designed their project in the past and how they have really delivered on time, and they always ask for reasonable rates and then, of course, the term of 6 years, which is the shortest number of projects history. I make a motion to accept as requested, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Second with a comment.
Yes.
If you want to talk about rural Utah.
This is the place.
How many of you know where Elmo or Cleveland, Castledale, Clawson, Barron?
I know.
I mean, these guys represent the most rural of rural Utah. It's a heck of a good model.
Yes, it is.
I mean, other counties ought to contact Jacob. He'd only charge them a small fee to tell them how to do this, but they do it with a general obligation bond and
they deliver.
Yeah, and they deliver. This is a good system that they have going, and it really addresses rural Utah.
Thank you. Thank you. Mayor Baker.
So that's below range.
Unique circumstance. We'll unique circumstance, and that's very unique in our board meetings.
Can I make a substitute motion?
Yes.
And it's not a whole lot, but I feel like instead of us going to these exemptions all the time, that we look at just going to the minimum, because we're going to only increase $99,000 more on loans of what the minimum is, and actually better for them because it's only 0.5% interest versus 1.5% that they've requested. So in reality, you're not going to see the difference.
Mr. Chairman, rebuttal?
So I'd like to go to that.
And I'll second that. Comment, Chairman Zanotti?
They're offering already 1.5%, which is the needed money for this community, this agency that we need. So why are we going to lessen that? And they would like to pay back in 6 years. And in my financial background, lower terms always gets better rates. So 1.5% compared to 2.5% or 2%, but it is better than minimum.
Okay.
That's my suggestion.
I'd like to see what the difference between the two would be if we could do that.
Well, you're talking about paying it back in 6 years versus paying it back in 30 years.
30 years, that's what I noticed.
I mean, to me, that's huge. I mean, I don't think it's so much what
Well, and I guess I didn't stop to see the 30 years, but I was looking at the amount.
The 30 years, they're going to pay 1.5 for 6 years, and the money comes back.
So maybe I'd like to modify my motion to do the minimum only for 6 years at the 0.5.
Why would we not do that? Go ahead.
That still put us in an exception, or where we got to have an exception if I did that?
Point of order or clarification here. Why do we not have an annual payment calculated on the as requested? Because to me, if that payment is within the range of what the tool is suggesting us, then we wouldn't necessarily need to an exception to approve it as requested. I realize the term is significantly different, but I concur that, you know, getting our money back in 6 years should be a benefit. So to me,
the structure that they've proposed should be within the tool range, not outside of the tool range.
So we have a substitute motion that's been amended by the motion maker for the minimum, a half a point, but at 6 years. Is that right?
Yep.
And do you want to stick with that motion?
Well, yeah, I'd like to see what the difference between the two is, because I think it's still going to be the same numbers.
It's not significantly different once you do that, because
you're just
the loan goes up by 3% and the grant goes down by 3%, mm-hmm. So it's not materially different, right?
No, but what I was trying to get to is it gets us into the
tool range, yeah.
Not trying to do an exception.
Right, and I agree. I'd much prefer to be operating within the tool range. I just think that the structure they propose, in my mind, should be within the tool range.
I'll still second that motion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which motion are you seconding, Scott?
So
I think we're doing the minimum at 6 years, though. So.
Yeah, the minimum at 6 years. That's right. Yep. Are we going to, you going to walk us through a quick financial?
Yeah, behind you.
Yeah, okay. And this is a side by side, right?
Yeah.
Except they're. Except, are they backwards? They proposed a point and a half, right?
No. They proposed one and a half. They proposed one and a half.
One and a half.
The board motion is a half, okay.
So this actually would be lower than their proposed once you factor in interest. So why would we do that, Dean?
Just because it keeps it in the tool and then we don't have to.
Well, I would argue that as proposed is within the tool.
Yes.
I don't think it should require an exception myself.
Okay, so what we'll do here is we can either vote on the substitute motion and it can pass or fail. We'll go back to the original motion. Or we can retract the substitute motion. What do we want to do?
I'll withdraw my second.
Okay.
After seeing this.
Okay, so the second's with everyone okay with going back to the original motion, Dean?
Yes.
Or would you like?
Other than it will require an exemption because you're offering more exemption.
Okay.
I don't know. Like,
who made the motion, Chairman Zanotti?
A unique project.
Unique project. You concur with that, Commissioner Adams?
Yeah.
Okay.
So loan grant is only one aspect of a financial, like the term, the interest rate. That should all be factored in terms of what's within the tool or not, but. Anyway, I guess it doesn't really matter.
Okay, clear as mud, everyone. Crystal, Commissioner. Okay, roll call.
Well, the second got withdrawn, so you have a substitute motion without a second.
Without a second.
Without a withdrawn. Yeah. So we go back to original.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So we are, the motion on the table is to place on the pending list. At the minimum.
No,
correct?
As requested.
As requested.
As requested.
Me. I can't believe I got that.
42% loan. As requested.
With the special circumstance.
Unique.
Unique
project. Unique project.
You're the one that set up clear of mud.
Yeah.
Chairman.
Yes.
I just wonder if Jacob has any questions now that we've been through this iteration.
Yeah. No.
I think we're following you.
Okay. Again, I'll call for a roll call vote. Ms. Powers, please.
Thank you. This is on the original motion, which is for a $1,685,000 grant, a $1,200,000 loan, 6 years at 1.5% on the priority list.
That's correct.
No.
Yeah.
I was having Kusharem last week.
Mr. Slaw.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Nope, no, which?
Yes.
Going to hurt you. No, I'm not. You did good.
You'll be there next.
That was a yes?
You'll be sitting there next.
Okay. Commissioner Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes, I love to muddy up the water, don't I?
Get triple stamp, a double stamp.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
You'll be here all winter.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
I would really appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah. Yes.
Just one comment on that. I do philosophically agree that we should try to stay within the tool as much as possible and not rely on exceptions, but I also really see Kurt's point that, you know, there's other factors that make it balance out. And so maybe, I know you all said that you were maybe kind of considering looking at some other ideas on a new version of the tool at some point in the future that we'd have lots of input on. I would suggest that we build that into that discussion.
Yeah. And I would second that. I would say, congratulations, by the way. If you just look at the payment, right? So,
yeah.
Like, that might be one way to, like, fixate on one number that shows whether or not it's in the tool range. If
how
the
much
payment,
comes back to...
If the payment, yeah, is, well, yeah, that might not always work either because,
yeah.
You know, you can change the term.
The
but,
six-year term.
Yeah. That's really favorable to CIB, right? So
yeah.
That really, to me, puts it way in into the range that shouldn't require an exception.
Gives us a chance to roll that money more often.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, thank you. Item 4.4, Town of Torrey requesting a grant to the tune of $1,350,000 for a town hall. Any representatives from Torrey, please join us. Ms. Powers, any brief comments?
The building is proposed to be constructed on property purchased many years ago. It's the intent of building a community center. And it's near the Torrey Town Park. The building will include town offices and be large enough for public meetings. In the public hearing minutes, November 9th, minutes indicate that the budget was shared at the meeting. What is the plan for the existing building, I would ask? And the revenue source indicated in the application is a building authority lease revenue bond. So should this be funded, if funded, through a building authority?
Welcome. Please introduce yourself.
Thank you. My name is Mickey Wright, and I'm the mayor of Torrey. And what we're asking for is to essentially build our first town hall. As I went through this process, I discovered prior to moving to the current fire department that the town office was in the town clerk's home. And when computers were required, she said, you need to find new office and a new clerk. The fire department allowed Torrey to get 600 square feet, the office part of the fire department. And that's where we currently are. However, due to, and I believe it was CIB loan that through Wayne County built the new fire station, so they've moved out. So we now hold our town council meetings in one of the bays where they used to have the fire trucks. Because we had them in the pavilion, but due to the cost of propane, keeping those heated in the winter, and the acoustics were much better in that bay, so we moved there. And that it's currently a metal building. What we do propose, I've already had a couple of people come and say, if you get into town hall, can I buy the building? It can be literally taken down. And that was, I didn't put an amount on the in-kind because I have no idea how much we would sell it for. It would be on a bid. We also have a modular home that's on the property where we would move to. And we believe it's new enough that we can also sell it. That would also come to this. But again, I don't know what those amounts would be.
Thank you. Questions, comments from the board? Do we have a motion?
Yeah, I have a question.
Yes.
So the tool suggests that you guys should be taking all of this in loan. So
yep.
If we were to approve a loan at 100%,
yep.
Is that something that you would still move forward with the project, or would that make it unfeasible?
I would have to go through the numbers. I went through the numbers as far as the median and minimum, and definitely would prefer the minimum because of that, the amount of the annual payment. But we're, based on conversations with other council members, trying to figure out if we could make the median annual payment.
Okay. So I'll just give you my perspective. Like, I understand that you guys have need for meetings, but
Town halls are important. I would say that, to me, this doesn't rise to the same level of infrastructure as sewer or roads or things that require to keep the economy moving, right? Like, you can, like, I know it's not the most comfortable, but you could keep meeting in that old fire station in the bay, and they work just fine. I've been to lots of meetings in fire stations, and it works, right? So we're at a point where we're trying to separate need from want, right? And I understand that it's hard sometimes to distinguish, but in my mind, and I'm just being honest, I feel like this is more on the want side for a small town to want to have a nice office building for their town council's meetings and stuff. It's not something that would be feasible without a very subsidized loan program like CIB, right? It's just not feasible for people to pay for that.
Yep.
And so, you know, I just wanted to let you know where I'm at on it. I think that this is something where I might maybe draw a line and not vote yes on. So.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Commissioner Bartholomew.
Question for you. On that same line of thought, have you considered just remodeling the fire station?
Yes, that's actually my backup plan. The concern was the engineers and the architect that we had come in looked at it and said the cost would be prohibitive. The issue is some of the ADA requirements, all the electrical needs to be replaced, there's plumbing issues, and the heating system is somewhat band-aided.
Okay. Chairman Zanotti.
Mayor, you have mentioned $50,000 in cash contribution. Yep. What is the source and where is it?
That is essentially from our rainy day fund that we put back from our sales tax that we've kept. Okay. And I'm hoping that we actually exceeded what the auditors allowed, and we're looking at moving some of that into capital and that we would be able to get that. That would be some more money. However, part of that's going to rebuilding the pavilion, which is in desperate need of a new roof, and that's one of the reasons why we're not in that meeting in that building.
Thank you.
I know this is going to be kind of a touchy question to ask, but in general, I'm wondering, as a community, how do you think your citizens feel about extraction of oil and gas?
I would say you would get about every opinion in Torrey that you could get in the United States. Torrey's a very mixed town. I mean, it has every political opinion you can come up with.
But has anybody expressed any negative comments to you about coming to CIB that gets their funding from extraction industry?
No. I would add to that part of the comment that it's actually been more positive that somebody's actually trying to go get new town hall and we just are finishing up on a 500,000 gallon water tank that was funded through the American Rescue Plan, and working on water lines and things that have been somewhat ignored in the past.
Positive on the funding side and also positive on the drilling side.
That's right. Yeah.
We see that from time to time. Yeah. Okay, do we have a yes, comment?
Just one more comment. I just wanted to kind of double down on the comments that Kurt shared. I sort of feel the same. My community just built its first City Hall. Yeah. I know how important that is to the pride of the community, for placemaking. I'm an urban planner, so my background, like, I really get how important facilities like that are and the placemaking and a place to gather your community and have sort of a central point. I do feel like we are in a really tight funding situation right now, a different kind of situation than we've been in the past, and unfortunately, we're having to make really hard decisions at this point. And as much as I would love to support your project, I feel like we're in a situation where it's more of a want. And maybe in the future, I would support. So just a heads up.
Thank you for that. So appreciate all the comments. Is there any? Are we entertaining? Sorry, am I going to have any motions to approve?
I'll make a motion to deny the application.
Well, motion to deny. Seconded. Comments on that? Seeing none. Let's vote on that, please, Ms. Powers.
Pardon me, who was the second?
Commissioner Miles.
Thank you. This motion is to deny, at this time, the Town of Torrey's request for funding a new town hall. Mr. Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes, with the comment, I would encourage you to come back when the funding is more favorable.
Commissioner Lytle?
No.
Commissioner, Mayor Baker?
This is to not approve it,
that's
right?
That's correct.
Okay, yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
No.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes with two opposed to deny this project at this time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Up next, item 4-5 is the Daggett County Municipal Building Authority. Request is for $8,212,000, $6,569,600 coming in grant, $1,642,400 in loan, 30 years at a half a point, for a community health and social services building. We have some of the members from the Daggett County MBA joining us here. Ms. Powers, any brief comments?
The public hearing minutes were good. This is for a community health and social services building. Their request is $6,569,600 grant and a $1,642,400 loan, 30-year at 0.5. The public hearing minutes refer to the cash they saved from a rural hospital tax, which is 1% received annually. They've set aside $400,000. The closest hospital is in Wyoming, which is nearly 50 miles outside of Manila, away from Manila. It on the website, it states that Uinta Basin Healthcare has clinic locations in Roosevelt, Vernal, Duchesne, Altamont, Tabiona, and Manila currently. This clinic is at 96 North, 100 West Manila. What is the plan for the existing clinic? In the minutes, someone asked the Governor's Office of Economic Development if they'd be able to help with funding. It was noted that they can't do any more until the first grant is utilized. What is the first grant? Yeah.
Thank you, Ms. Powers. Gentlemen, please introduce yourselves to the board.
Hello, Jesse Platt from Daggett County. I'm here with Steve, also from Daggett County, and Art Jensen from Jones and DeMille Engineering.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us about your project.
Okay, so our current clinic was hauled into its current location in 1998. It was acquired as a used building at that time. It's dated and deteriorating rapidly. The project to replace this clinic has been in the works for a long time. The new health services building that we're proposing will include an updated clinic, also space for dental and optometry services, mental health services, our local health department exercise space, and then room to develop further services to kind of bring an all-inclusive health building to Daggett County, where we have not a lot of options. Our application stated our residential population is 324, but that's actually for the municipality where this clinic will be located. The services will support the 1,200 year-round residents of Daggett County, as well as our up to 50,000 visitors that we see on a holiday weekend. We surveyed the community to find their perspective and had outstanding support for the project. A few of the comments from the survey are in your handout. We also have the median age of 48 and a half. We're the oldest county in the state. And so our residents really need health services provided to them locally. And as stated, our nearest hospital is 60 miles away, and all these services that we're looking to provide are 50 miles away over mountainous or unmaintained winter roads. We are aware that our ask is outside the tool recommendation. Our funding situation has kind of forced us to ask for an exception to be able to repay this loan with rural hospital tax. And we're understanding this is a tough year, and I'm just hoping you'll give it a good look. The county is also prepared to contribute the land to the project, and then we'll also continue to seek further funding for furnishings for the building and also all the equipment required. So this is the building by itself.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Comments, questions for the applicants from the board? Yes, Commissioner Adams.
He said that they are the oldest county in the state. I'm assuming he means that the population is the oldest. The county isn't necessarily the oldest, although you got Jack Lytle, so.
We're the youngest county in the state.
So it's pretty aging up there.
I was going to say they're actually the youngest county.
Yeah.
Elders.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Yes, Ms. Hansen.
Sorry, thank you. I appreciate the public survey questions. They're interesting. I noticed you asked one, would you be in favor of the county pursuing grant funding to upgrade the clinic? Did you ask similarly about how supportive the public would be if you had to take out a loan?
So we did mention that in our public hearing,
yeah.
and let them know that the commission's intention is to repay that public that loan with rural hospital tax, which is one of the few delegations you can utilize that tax for.
And is this just essentially new facilities for existing services, or does this allow for expansion of services as well?
So all the services I mentioned will be new aside of the clinic. We currently have a clinic operated with a PA.
Okay.
It is just the old deteriorated small building.
Okay.
Thank you. Commissioner Miles?
Have you looked at, you know, knowing the situation that we're in with funding, have you looked at maybe paring down?
So we have discussed that. There is room for expansion in the basement for future services, and knowing that it's quite a bit cheaper to build square footage down to utilize that basement space, it was something the commission didn't want to seriously evaluate at that time, knowing that that space will be needed, and it's cheaper to build it initially than to construct an add-on in 2 years. But that is a discussion we've been willing to have.
Where are Northeastern Counseling and Tri-County Health operating out of in Niagara County?
Currently Vernal, Utah, so it's that 60 miles over the mountainous road to get to those locations at this time.
So Tri-County doesn't have anything in Daggett County?
They do not.
Additional comments? Chairman Zanotti.
I just wanted to compliment our dear colleague, Commissioner Lytle, for being in that meetings and so carefully stayed neutral, give the council, and explain that what is going to be the outcome of coming before the commission, before the board. So I'm just really expressing my appreciation to him. Sometimes we get too involved and try to do some help, and in the process, the promises that we cannot deliver. So thank you, Jack.
And that's a nice segue into a comment from Commissioner Lytle himself.
Thank you. So first of all, I better do a full disclosure that I sit on the MBA board for Daggett County. So that, to make that clear. There was one question you asked about something being paid for before, and I did not hear if Mr. Platt responded to it in terms of paying one thing off before we move into another. It's the bond on the jail, which I hesitate to bring up unless I don't hesitate at all. We still have a bond on the jail that we can't use right now. The feeling was the public would not be very accepting of another jail bond until we get the jail one squared away, and we're somewhere less than $500,000 owing on it. I think if that was the question that Candace was asking, is that, Jesse, did you already answer it?
I did not. Thank you, Jack.
Okay. And then from a comment period, I did participate in the public hearing part of it, obviously. There are challenges, and we're very aware of the circumstances with, and I tried to be informative to everyone involved in terms of where we're at with CIB funding and revenue. This project in itself would be a significant change in terms of the opportunity to provide better services to an area that's starting to grow a little bit. So I just ask that we see what we can do.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Adams, comment?
Well, I'm going to pontificate on the wisdom that I have here. So,
please do.
Is that the right word to use? Mm-hmm.
It's not
so,
the word.
You know, my family lived in San Juan for five generations. And what happens when you live someplace a long, long time is certain things become part of the fiber of the community. Healthcare is part of the fiber of a small community, whether it's in San Juan County or whether it's in Daggett County. And as people get a little older, and they're the oldest in the state in Daggett County, they become more reliant on health care. And, you know, I don't want to sell my house and move to the Wasatch Front so I can have good health care. And it's never going to happen. But the Wasatch Front has better health care. They'll have a lot more options, a lot of things that I could probably enjoy more than the looking out in the field and seeing my cattle and horses and stuff like that. But I don't think anybody that has a longevity in a community wants to pick up and move because they're getting older and they need more help. And so you take a community like Daggett. I understand where these older people are coming from. They don't want to have to move from Daggett County. They have invested their entire life in that community. They have, you know, they have all their memories. They have all of their energy to build the community, to be part of the community, to serve the community. And I look at this double-wide trailer that was put there in 1998. It was pre-owned. I think this clinic is probably one of the most important things that could come to Daggett County. Now, affordability. Well, there you go again. You got older citizens who are probably not working. They're not getting a big raise in their Social Security every year.
Don't look at me. I'm not old.
I know, but you've got money. So I don't know. This is just some of the thoughts that go through my head when projects like this come to the board. And I think we need to consider what the community, what the citizens of that community have done to maintain their community in Daggett County.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you for sharing that. Commissioner Taylor.
I have a couple of questions. You operate this facility. Tell me, what do you do for your prescriptions? If someone's sick, what do they have to do for a prescription?
So they currently have a small number of medicines on hand at the local clinic. And that is one thing that we've looked to proactively make sure we have availability through the clinic provider is to have prescriptions available for our community members that can't travel. So there will be a pharmacy built operated through the Uinta Basin Healthcare Clinic within that building.
Within that building. Okay, that's great. Because right now, a lot of them probably have to travel 60 miles to get to a pharmacy, correct?
Exactly.
I can relate to that. A community, we built something similar to this because we had to do the same thing. And it makes a huge difference. in the lives of people that, that have to live within this. What's the square footage again of this building?
Finished and unfinished is 22,000 square feet.
That seems to me to be a large building. I don't know whether there's something you could do. I know Jones and DeMille, they engineered our building. Much smaller than that, but and we service about 1,000 people. Well, that's something you could look at or whatever.
So,
but
so the space in the top level of that floor plan there has some conference space, and the main utilization of that is so we're part of Tri-County Health. We're a partner with Northeastern Counseling, and we have no representation. When they're having a public meeting, our citizens have to load up and go to Vernal to be able to attend the meeting and give their input. And so the main space that could probably be revamped in that upper space is that conference space, but it still serves a vital purpose to our citizens.
Okay. I have to agree with Bruce, though. I think these are really important to communities, and I can relate 100% because I come from a small community, Escalante, and we needed the same thing. And CIB did help us out many years ago.
Comment from Commissioner Bartholomew and then Commissioner Miles, and then Ms. Hansen is going to be excused here at some point for another meeting.
So have you looked at other grants and the availability of them? You know, it looks to me like maybe there would be some out there.
And we have reviewed a few. I know that we looked at the CDBG grant money. To see, and it ultimately that increased the project cost more than we were going to receive from the project. And we've also reached out to all the partners, and we've got monetary support from a few of the partners already, and we're still working on the other. So Northeast Counseling is willing to monetarily support the increased O&M going from a 2,000 square foot building to a large building. There's going to be increased cost. And then also Tri-County Health has agreed to monetarily support the ongoing costs. And so we've reached out to partners asking for support and also reviewed different grant types to see what we could come up with.
Yeah, the other question that I had is, I noticed that it's got an elevator in there. I know the cost of elevators are very expensive. Is there a chance that you could delay the use of that basement for a period of time and not put the elevator in at this time, just put the space for it?
I think that's something that the commission would definitely entertain.
Mr. Miles.
Okay. Do you have a firm commitment from UBH?
As to be the provider?
Mm-hmm.
I do. Yes.
And does that include for the... And I'm not trying to cast shade. I'm just curious on the contracts to provide for... prescriptions, a pharmacy.
So that has not been discussed with them yet.
How about dental? Have you been courting any dentists?
We have been in discussions with a dentist who is very excited to support this project. And
then I think I noticed optometry. It's really blurry, sorry.
That is correct. Yep. Optometry or dent or the health department has voiced their concern.
You'll need to go there, Greg.
I'm headed there, Bruce. And then CDBG, I noticed for funding sources, it sounds like you're going to have to seek additional funding for equipment and furnishings. What's your level of comfortability with being able to get CDBG funds for those purposes?
I have not.
The CDBG funds were pursued or looked at to fund the building itself. UBH has helped donate used equipment in the past, such as exam tables and other things, an X-ray machine, the used X-ray machine and things. So that was the route to go for some of the equipment. But the CDBG option was for the building itself. But it just apparently some of those programs don't have enough funding available in them to make it worth all the federal requirements that are attached to them with Davis-Bacon wages and the Buy America and all that stuff. So it would prove to be more money than what we would get from the grant from
right.
them. So
thank you. Those are my questions.
Thank you. Treasurer Sloth.
Okay. So you got to know this is my role, but I have real concerns about funding a clinic. Okay. My first concern is every single community in rural Utah is facing the same thing with their own health clinics. And CIV doesn't have the capacity to fund every health clinic. They're expensive. They, you know, there's a lot that goes into a health clinic, right? And so my concern is, from a fairness standpoint, we just can't support every health clinic. And, you know, I didn't know that maybe years ago we had funded some of those, but to me, it's a little bit of a departure from CIV's mission of funding critical infrastructure that is not business-based. My second point is, healthcare, unlike sewer, water, or roads, it's a business, right? So we would be funding a business that already gets reimbursements through Medicare and Medicaid. And I realize the economics of healthcare isn't great in rural Utah, but it is a business, and it's intended to operate in a way that's self-sustaining, right? That doesn't require government grants to come in and subsidize those businesses. I have a real problem with government subsidizing private businesses, and Unibasin Healthcare and other private businesses would benefit from the government funding a clinic that is providing services that they're getting reimbursement for, and then, you know, without the cost of having to provide the facility and everything else that goes into it. So I understand that healthcare is critical, and I don't want to see anybody have to move to the Wasatch Front or anything else. But I also don't think that it's the CIB's role to fund every health clinic that are essentially businesses across the state, because I don't consider it to be critical infrastructure. So now I'm off my soapbox, but you kind of know where I stand on it. And I'm trying to be consistent, Bruce. You know, I didn't, you know, vote for your health clinic, and I was thinking about the same thing. If we fund Bruce's, you know, health clinic down in San Juan County, then we're going to have to fund every single other rural health clinic, because they're all facing the same economics, and CIB just doesn't have the resource to do that. So I'm off my soapbox now. Thank you.
I would like to make a comment, not in rebuttal, but maybe a little bit more clarification. UBH is nonprofit. And so we are not going to entice IHC or anybody else to come to rural Utah, Kurt.
Well,
so just for the record, I wanted to make sure that it's understood that UBH is not for profit, and they're actually losing money to run this clinic in Daggett County.
A lot of these, like Esplanade's clinic, is owned by the city itself in order to entice someone to come in and occupy the building and provide services for those communities.
No, I get it. But, you know, I worked for Intermountain Healthcare for a long time. It's a nonprofit, right? But the economics work the same, and I can tell you that there's a lot of people that make a lot of money at Intermountain Healthcare, even though it's a nonprofit. And, you know, allowing government resources to allow people to not face the economic realities of where the lines need to be drawn and where the salaries should be set, I think is not the way the free market operates. And I do feel it would be a subsidy to private business, even though they operate as a nonprofit.
Okay, Chairman Zanotti and then Commissioner Lytle.
Thank you, Chairman. Do you or your citizens use the teleservice that everybody's using now? Like we're just calling the doctors by way of Zoom? Any of the other technology?
Yes, so some of our citizens do, and this building actually had space reserved to accommodate. Some of our citizens are resilient to move towards technology,
okay.
and so still being able to come and have a place to, the monitor's already set up, everything's connected, they can perform telehealth, either medical or mental. There will be a location for that within this building to help accommodate telehealth.
My second question, follow up to Commissioner Miles' comments or question. Can you change the scope and reduce the scope of these facilities to the point that we can be comfortable to fund it? can you phase it, like phase one through the segment of it, phase two, segment phase three, because at this point, as you know, we don't have the money, as you can hear from the treasurer and the candidates and every one of us. We're all concerned. So would you like to go back and get on the drawing board and change a phase, maybe two, three, and come back before the commission, before the board?
Absolutely. I think our commissioners would be more than willing to phase this project.
Commissioner Lytle.
Thank you. And thank you for all the comments. Even the ones I don't like to hear, they make sense. And to your point, Mr. Slaw, and not argumentative in any sense, and I respect the fact that you have experience in the healthcare side of things, for, I assume in the financial side. So we have a paradigm where we have helped in the smaller communities provide the facilities, and then they do their work to provide services or get contracts to have services provided in the facilities. It's probably a question to be answered at another day, but even based on your statements that most communities, I think you said all, but that might have been a little hyperbole, most communities do have a struggle doing this, and if we and we can't fund them all. And I'm paraphrasing what you said because I can't repeat exactly. I don't remember all of it, but
we don't want you to repeat it.
Right. But my question with that is we kind of have a paradigm of how we've done it. We have commercial businesses that may be nonprofit, and yet we still have a responsibility as commissioners, town councils, and everybody else to provide health, safety, and welfare. I realize there's the capitalist side of things, but at the same time, how do we find that balance? For me, it's easy to say, you know, we shouldn't do business, or this isn't business. Money that should be promoting a business to be able to save money. But at the same time, how are we providing services and to our constituents and to the folks that are, in this case, an aging population? I know it's not easy for you to say those things, but at the same time, I'm still trying to figure out how we problem solve that. And it's not CIB's board, and maybe it's not the place to ask or have the answer. But right now, it's the best we can do as far as we know. And if you've got insights on down the road from your experiences with Intermountain Healthcare or whomever, how to make this more viable, it would sure be taken well.
Motion.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion, put this on the pending list, have them go back on, look at their plans and see where they can trim things down. I will make this comment. When you get to the point of building this, really, these kind of facilities, the devil is in the details. You need to look at every toilet, every sink, every chair, everything you do, because these architects will put things on there that sometimes you really don't know what you're getting if you haven't gone through the plans and really identified. You might have a great big old deep sink when you don't need one like that, or you might have a bidet in your toilet and you don't need that. But
thank you for that.
You know. But I'd like to put it on the pending list. That's my motion.
Thank you. Second, motion made to put on the pending list, seconded by Commissioner Bartholomew. Is that sufficient? Ms. Powers, roll call vote, please.
Mr. Slaw.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen.
She's gone.
Thank you for accommodating me on Zoom. I vote yes as well.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
With my full disclosure and being on the MBA, I will abstain.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously with one abstention, and the chairman abstaining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, before item 8, special consideration projects, let's take a quick 10-minute break, restroom break.
Thank you.
We'll reconvene.
Recording stopped. Recording in progress.
Okay, we'll call this meeting of the Permanent Community Impact Fund Board back to order at 10:51, Thursday, December 7th. Up next on the agenda under special consideration, we have a request to consider a project from the UNIS Special Service District Number 1. Now, this is important. This project was not listed on the CIB application list as required by statute. The board needs to discuss and vote to hear the request, and the verbiage is whose project addresses a bona fide public safety or health emergency or who presents other compelling reasons for project funding may request special consideration to have the project placed on a board agenda. Special consideration will be considered by the board only if the board passes a motion to consider the project. So do we have a motion to consider the project as a special consideration?
What would be the rationale for special consideration?
Like bona fide public safety or health emergency or who presents other compelling reasons for the project funding?
Is there other compelling reasons? Like
The board has to make a decision if it qualifies for special consideration given those criteria, public safety or health emergency or other compelling reasons. Are you compelled to consider this request?
If you're not.
Yes. As I read through this, it looks like it's just a request for a road that needs some maintenance on it. And that would not qualify under that criteria in my mind.
Okay. Thank you for sharing, Commissioner Adams.
I'm just wondering, we're in December. So next year, they could get on the list pretty quick for next year to be considered. And so I'm just wondering if to stay within statute, we ought to not hear it this year, but be able to get on the list and be able to hear it next year. But that's just...
Yeah. Can I jump in? Just because I kind of know what they're talking, what they're doing.
Now we're getting the message.
Yeah.
Now we're getting the message. Yeah. No, I don't know that I've got the message. I think they'd be the ones that would be...
Well, whatever the message is, it needs to be
the road compelling. The road is getting so chewed up, they're concerned that 6 months, there won't be a road. But still, it's going to take some time. You're not going to start construction in the middle of the winter on it.
Okay.
So I see both sides, but I don't have an answer for it.
Well, if we don't have, I'll get to you in a second, Commissioner. If we don't have a motion to add the item to the agenda as special consideration, then we just move on with our business. So
do we need to deny it?
Not necessarily. We just... At bare minimum, we need a motion to add it.
I'll make the motion to bring it to the table for special consideration so it can be discussed.
Yep, thank you, Commissioner.
I will second.
I'll second that.
Seconded by Commissioner Miles. Okay. Discussion.
Yes. So, as I look at this, it's a total project of almost $27 million, money that we don't have yet.
Yeah.
So, why are we even...
Well, right now, not to interrupt you, but the discussion should be pertaining to does this qualify as a special consideration? And then once we approve that vote, then we can get into the project details, if that makes sense. So this is a two-tier program. So,
and again, my comment is that the road is being totally chewed up with activity of the large truck
Okay.
That are using it, that are hauling sand. They haul sand in, they crush it, they haul sand back out. There is residents on that road. Before you know it, there will not be a road. It'll just be a chewed up dirt.
Okay.
And it's getting very, I mean, you got to swerve and do to travel it. So I see that part. That's why I said I don't know that it requires, or, you know, is, but yeah. I think they're trying to say, can we look at getting funded? We start designing and we start moving forward with this in the spring. Is their
yeah.
thought?
So, yeah, that's your rationale. Understood. Am I wrong? Yes, go ahead, Commissioner.
I would add to that that this is the main thoroughfare between Southern Roosevelt and Fort Duchesne. There are many residents who live on that road, as well as a lot of agriculture land. So this isn't a one-way street to the industry. This is in the middle of residential areas as well.
Commissioner Lytle.
I concur with what's been said. The reason I would say that it deserves the opportunity to be heard is just as what was said. And so I'd call the question to go forward.
Okay. Why don't we have a vote? Okay. Ms. Powers.
This is to vote to hear the application, to bring it to the table. Mr. Slaw.
No.
Ms. Hansen? Oh.
I think you lost Ms. Hansen.
Okay. Commissioner Bartholomew?
No.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
No.
Commissioner Brown?
No.
Commissioner Adams?
No.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
The motion passes to not hear with
three in favor. No.
The motion fails. What?
The motion was to bring it to the table.
Yeah. Right. And yeah. So it will not be brought to the table.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Powers. Up next is A2, Carbon County, $566,000 grant for Spillman Technology Software for Public Safety. This item require a discussion regarding special consideration?
Yes.
So we're going to have the same discussion again. So does this item qualify due to public health and safety or other compelling circumstances to be heard? Commissioner Adams.
Motion to hear.
I will second.
Motion to hear made by Commissioner Adams, seconded by Commissioner Miles. Roll call vote, please. Ms. Powers, motion to hear as a special consideration.
Mr. Slaw.
No.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
No.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
You have.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion is to bring the project to the table to discuss.
Okay. Would the representatives from Carbon County please join us at the table? Introduce yourselves and your project, please.
Thank you for allowing us to present. I'm Casey Hopes, Carbon County Commissioner, and I have with me Mayor Lenise Peterman. Mayor Corianis was here as well. He ended up having another meeting, so he took off. This is a project that comes from – there's a few things that are happening. A few years ago, many of the commissioners, the state started transitioning their communication systems. It started with the radios. We were just now paying off the radios from 800 megahertz to VHF, so that has been part of this. Now the dispatch system and UHP have moved away from the system that they were using and are going with Tyler Technologies as well as Spillman. Currently, Carbon County and all of our police agencies use eForce and FatPot. And those technologies are no longer going to be supported, so we have to move to something. Spillman is the technology that will speak with the state. So we see that it's critical that we move to something that talks to the state. This technology will house all of our operating systems that talk to the state. They'll be able to run all their reports, pull all their traffic stops and everything off this technology. So the initial cost is to transition everything from FatPot and eForce to Spillman. Spillman. Sorry, there's a lot of... that's the initial cost. The down the road cost will be funded in house by us. We'll keep up the every year. There's that licensing fee, and we already have that managed through our departments. Any questions?
So the request is for $566,000 in grant, and then we have the suggested range there using the tool. Questions?
Yes. Commissioner?
Yes.
So, this, is this a surprise to you? Why is this an emergency, I guess?
The state is moving to, they're moving in January, I believe, to their system. And we found out September is when they came to us and said that FatPot and eForce were no longer going to be maintained. So from then we started looking into what technologies we could move towards, and that's where we went.
Do you have no other funding sources left over from all the money that was given to you last 3 or 4 years? Are they all gone?
Yes, we build out some water systems with our ARPA funding, and then we match some EWP projects. Or no, it wasn't EWP. I can't remember what we did with the COVID funding, but it's all been spent.
Commissioner.
Casey, how much do you think this request falls under your mandate to take care of health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of Carbon County?
I think it's 100%. It's, again, the ability of our agencies to speak with each other as well as the state and have it all in one database. The problem with not moving and trying to continue to put patches on eForce and FatPot is they don't talk to each other, and we'll have to maintain two separate systems.
I worry about trying to run a police force with one arm tied behind your back.
Yeah, that's the whole reason why we went with going back to the radios. That's the reason why we ended up finally jumping on with the state. We in Carbon County, we're going to have to maintain two separate systems because the state won't allow our road shops and some of our other agencies to be on the 800 megahertz system. So in Carbon County, for some of our rural roads like Nine Mile Road, we have to be able to talk with our road shops and different things down in those rural areas. So we're maintaining two radio systems in those areas as well as, so this will tie into all of that. It's 100% safety.
Commissioner Lytle. Oh, sir.
Make a motion. We approve the request.
Okay,
prior motion. Prior to the motion, which could
I? Already made the motion.
make the motion. I'll second it.
You're saying as requested, 100%.
Motion to fund as requested, seconded by Commissioner Lytle. Commissioner Lytle, do you have any comments you'd like to share with us this afternoon?
And then I have one.
I do. full disclosure, I'm a peace officer and use the FATPOT E-Force systems. I haven't used the other ones. We are, as a Division of Wildlife Resources, we're tied to the UHP and moving to Tyler Technologies. I don't know. I know that it's been a long transition for UHP. I know with the if anybody that's been on the FATPOT system is having to make the change. The comments with this, it's with the radios for Daggett County even, the VHF to go into the 800 system, the state takes care of the 800 system, so but the county still has to, if we want to keep any of the VHF, we have to do it. The 800 doesn't have the same coverage as the VHF, so to your point, Casey, you're having to maintain the VHF in order to have actually even coverage for your law enforcement folks. Now, in addition to your roads crews and everybody else.
That's correct.
The transition is not a smooth one right now on the going to the Tyler Technologies for everybody, but they've been in the middle of doing that transition and trying to get it ready. I can't speak for the local municipalities because our county already still uses or has been using the what's the other out the other one you need to get Tyler and
Spillman.
We've been on Spillman in the county. I've never been on it with the state, but so having to make that Spillman transition along with the Tyler Technologies for the paperwork end of it and your statistics is huge. My one question on it is, have you got all the sheriff's office as well as all the community police departments, city police departments, are they all want, is that the joint decision to go to Spillman? I know they have to do Tyler. I don't know about the Spillman part, so help me understand that a little better.
Yes, this is a joint application with all of our cities, all of our agencies, fire, ambulance, and all of the police agencies in our county, and all of them are on board.
And they're looking for this spring to have everything. What's the deadline for, and this gets back to why we need to do this now versus later, what's the deadline when they're going to, because they're not supporting FATPOT anymore, all the dispatch stuff that comes on the computer, the CAD screens, all that stuff where you see the calls, write your tickets, everything that way, what's the deadline where you have to be compliant or in a working situation?
So this puts us in the queue, and I don't think they'll be able to implement us because of the number of people ahead of us already. And sometimes toward the end of the year, they'll actually implement this. But if we don't get in the queue now, again, FATPOT and E-Force, I think it's a year that they're going to support it, and then I don't know that they'll support it much past that. I don't know. I can't speak for how long they'll support it.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yeah, I'm wondering how many other counties are in the same boat. I know that Garfield County has the same concern. Happen to switch over. So how many others is going to be coming to CIB?
Sevier County already did switch.
We're switching.
If they're already on Spillman, it's less of an impact. Okay. The way I understand it.
Commissioner Miles?
I think the state, I'll concur with Commissioner Holtz, that the state has put us in a really tough position. And moving to 800 megahertz, especially in rural areas that are mountainous, just the transition won't work. And so we've been forced to go with dual band radios, which are about five times the cost of a VHF radio. And so that burden placed upon us, which we, and VHF, we still need to utilize to talk to federal agencies. Apparently, they don't have many wildland fires in Wasatch Front, I guess. But we have to have VHF in order to communicate with federal agencies who said that they will not switch to 800 megahertz because of the cost. And so the state has put us in a tough position.
Thank you.
With this filming.
Ms. Powers, I would like to call for a roll call vote, please. Motion
sure,
made.
Can yes. I just make one comment? The reason I wanted to offer this as requested, this is not a big amount of money. I mean, $500,000 when you look at what CIB funds on a fairly regular basis. And so $500,000 isn't a big deal, even though it is a big deal. So that's why I made the motion I did, Kurt.
Okay. Well, so, you understand South Pennsylvania.
I do.
So we'll have to have an exception and all of that.
But. What okay. is the exemption?
Well, I'll have to look at Noggie's.
Exemption. Chairman, can I make a comment?
Emergency response. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
No, I'm not
kidding. I'm just going to say, so how many other areas in the state are going to be in this same situation besides just down in that price area? I think we're going to have 10, 15 more areas come in requesting the same thing. So, I mean, it's not a big deal now.
You're saying a precedent.
But
yeah.
it could become.
Yeah. That's what I was asking.
That's my concern. Is do we, you know, make the state come up with the fund? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, with that in mind, if I might, what's the tighter part of it for your communities moving in to take up that Spillman won't do? Because it was an either or for most agencies to have Spillman or FATPOT. Some counties had both, but rarely used the FATPOT. They've tied into Spillman. On the, is this, what's the Tyler part of it for you that Spillman isn't handling? Or do you know those details, Casey?
I don't know. We were strictly on E-Force and FATPOT, so I'm not sure.
Because, like, for the state, we're changing, at least the fish and game, we're changing from FATPOT to Tyler. I haven't heard Spillman mentioned at all, and UHP has been on both maybe, but they've used FATPOT. So I'm just curious if you know those details.
It's my understanding that let's see, E4, one of them is being replaced by the state, which would be the Tyler Technologies portion of that, and this would be for the Spillman portion. So that it can communicate with the Tyler Technologies. So the state is taking care of the Tyler Technologies portion of that.
So the exemption that has been suggested is an emergency response. So I just want to make sure, do we feel that this is an unforeseen and immediate pressing threat to community health, safety, and welfare? Is that sufficient?
No.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, can I make a substitute motion?
Oh.
That you're right. I would like to substitute, and let me give you this explanation. I think that most of our rural counties are going to be in the same situation. If we fund this 100% with grant, every single one of those, we've set a precedent that we're going to pay for it, and every single one of them is going to be coming for us and wanting us to pay for all of this. And we don't have a lot of money. So I understand the plight that you're in, but you got to understand that, you know, we have our own economic reality. So the substitute motion that I'm going to say is that we fund this at 100% loan, 0%, at whatever term they would wish to pay it back. I think we can approve 30 years, but if they want
1,000 years.
1,000 years. Okay, not 1,000 years.
And Bruce will be around to see that it's paid.
Well, if they can pay it off sooner, they don't have to stay to the zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I would say a 0% rate.
Right.
But at whatever term that they would like, once they look at the payment. But I think, from my perspective, it wouldn't be wise to just pay this all with grant, because I think we could be asking for a lot coming our way.
So the motion is to fund entirely loan at 0% interest.
Right.
But
question,
and that's
is
within
you want
the
to
tool.
Go 30, KC, 20, 15 years to pay back?
Is there a second?
I'm going to second it.
Okay. Seconded by Mayor Baker. Discussion.
I'd like to make a substitute motion to go half and half.
Okay. Can we have a substitute to a substitute?
Yeah, we've done it in the past.
Second substitute.
Second substitute, she says.
Second substitute. Commissioner Lytle, take it away. Half and half?
Half and half. 0% interest, 30 years or better.
Outside of the loan. Outside of the tool.
I'll second it.
Seconded with what's the exemption?
Special circumstances. The exemption is the same.
Emergency response. Okay. Let's have. Can we have a vote?
Yeah. Sure. Oh, hurry.
On the second substitute.
Let's go.
Before Kurt makes a substitute.
What was the second substitute?
Half and half.
Half and half.
At what interest?
0%.
And who was the second?
Commissioner Miles with an emergency response.
Okay.
Exemption.
It's still for 30 years, Mr. Chairman.
We're going to vote on this one.
30 years, correct, Jack?
One more question.
Yes.
Are we funding it today, or is it on the priority list?
On the priority list, the same as others.
Yeah.
Priority list.
Priority
is that correct, Jack?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, unless there, I didn't hear anybody asking for funding right now.
It could be funded, and that wouldn't be funded. It would be funded February 1st.
Is there a request to be suspended funds?
No.
Okay. No, then
okay.
On the list.
Okay, let's ride.
50-50. Mr. Slaw?
Yes.
Attaboy. I'm loving it.
No, that'll...
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes. Merry Christmas.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes.
Nice job. Nice job, Commissioner Lytle, with the second substitute. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, our next item is item 9-1, board member discussion and our action items. So I'm not proposing that we hold the next meeting at we're proposing that we hold the next meeting here at this location. That worked for everybody?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Was that the intent there with the agenda?
Yes.
To confirm the location? Okay. Sounds good. Okay, we will call this meeting to a close at 11:18 a.m.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
Thank you. Lunch will be here in 12 minutes for those of you there to stay and eat.
Merry Christmas to you all.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Just to let you know, I'm in Las Vegas and in a safe place after yesterday's mess.
Thank you,
Commissioner Lytle, for joining us this morning.
And I'm so sorry. It's so hard to do this virtually.
No,
and I apologize for any.
You've been great.
You did good.
But
thanks,
you suited up. That was good.
Jack, I need
you look nice, Commissioner Lytle.
I'm
going
up.
I'm taking your candy.
You can have my candy. You can have my lunch.
Right.
Okay,
we're here, so I'm
going to
take it.
All right. Everybody, God bless. Travel safe.
Take it.
Thank you.